Okay, I'd like to just briefly summarize what we did the last time. We begin Hakdamat Hilchos Ta'aroves. We're dealing with the concept of Rov B'Ta'aroves, and we pointed out that we have a pasuk Ach Rabim Lahatos, and from this pasuk we learn that there is a din of Bitul B'Rov Yavesh B'Yavesh Mida Araisa. Three pieces of meat on the table, two are kosher, one is treif. We can't tell the difference between the pieces. So midaraisa, we have a din of bitul v'rov. Acharav l'hatos. But we saw a very basic machlokes we shown in between the Rosh and the Rashba. What does that mean? The Rosh understood we have over here a principle of rubo kakulo. We saw that's what we find in a Sanhedrin. Once they paskin two against one, it's the entire Sanhedrin that's paskining. It's not a problem of ein hochem amamon achar harov. And in the context of taroves, rubo kakulo means, in the language of the Rosh, Isur nehefach lios heter. We now have three pieces of kosher meat on the table, and I can pop all three pieces of meat into my mouth. That's a din midaraisa. I'm not saying that's the mahadrin, that's what one should do, I'm saying that's what one can do. Okay? That we have the right to eat all three pieces simultaneously. The Rashba, on the other hand, doesn't agrees that there is such a concept, Pashtus Aruch HaKulo by Sanhedrin, but says that's not what Rov B'Tarovus is all about. Rov b'tarovus is a classic ruba de'isa kamon, where we have a principle of tes chanuyos called the parish miruba parish. I pick up one piece and I say, this is coming from the rov. This is coming from the rov. This is coming from the rov. And then I can eat the pieces one after one. We saw the Tosas Rid has the same svara in Baba Basra, but takes it one step further and says, I can't eat all three. I can only eat two out of the three, because otherwise, manafshach, I'm certainly eating an iser. And the bottom line is that in this taroves of three pieces, the Easter is there. The Easter is there. I don't know which it is, but it's there. And I have to be able to take that into account when I am using the concept of beetle. That's in the world of Yavish B'Yavish. And then we appear also to have a din of beetle barov by lach b'lach mida oraisa. Here, according to the Rosh, hainuhach. Lach b'lach, if I have two an Easter and a Heter that come together in a compound, and I can't separate the Easter and the Heter, but I know I have more Heter than I have Easter, rubu kukulo, and we have a principle of Easter nefach lios Heter, that's the din of Bitul, and now I can eat the entire lach b'lach. I can eat this chicken soup, even though it has a little bit of treif chicken soup which is mixed into it, there's no way that in every spoonful there's a 3/4 of a spoon is kosher chicken soup and 1/4 is treif chicken soup. I'm allowed to eat the entire spoonful of chicken soup. The problem is, what do we do according to the Rashba? L'chor, according to the Rashba, according to the Rush, everything is no longer Easter. But according to the Rashba, the Easter is there in every spoon. L'chor, I have Easter. So here we pointed out, working off of the Rambam in the world of Tumah V'Tahara, that we have a bitul b'metzius, that simply the Easter self-destructs. It dissolves to the degree that it loses its identity. So on the level of lach b'lach, the Rashba agrees with the Rush that we have no Easter. Not because we have a principle of rubo kukulo, not because we have a principle that the heter overwhelms the iser, and iser nefach lios heter, but rather the iser simply dissolves to the point where it loses its identity. We have bitul b'metzius. So halach l'maisa, the two of them agree that in the world of lach b'lach, we treat it as though there is no iser. Their machlokas halach l'maisa is in the realm of yavesh b'yavesh.
And so we saw nafkaminas in terms of the world of achila. We saw nafkaminas in the world of tumah v'tahara, that we pointed out that touching is considered to be a local connection to that which is on the table. Mash'enkein masa, we deal with it as a whole. So he pointed out that when you have three pieces, two kosher and or two tahar and one tameh, so There's bitul barov in terms of maga, even according to the Rashba. I can touch all three pieces. As long as I touch them one after another, I have no problem. But to lift them simultaneously, I have a tumah of masa. Mashenkin and lach b'lach, by the case of the chararas dam, in lach b'lach, there's no tumas masa. not a problem of Tumas Masa, because the Iser has self-destructed, Kamisha Eino. We saw the Mari Kurkus quoted by the Kesef Mishnah. That's what we get up to, correct? I'd like to just mention that this machlokus between the Rashba and the Rush has nafgaminos which go beyond the world of eating, and which go beyond the world of tumah v'tahara. So one nafgamina, this is quoted in the Be'er Yitzhak himself, is in terms of kilayim. Let's talk a priori. What should be? If I have a beged of tzemer, and within this beged of tzemer, I have a chut of pishtan. One chut of pishtan in the beged of tzemer, and I can't find it. Ne'evad. I know that it's there. I know that it's there, but I have no idea where it is. And I want to know, can I put on this beged? So let's ask ourselves. L'chora, tzemer and pishtan, that's yavesh b'yavesh. Right? In other words, tzemer is a tzemer and the pishtan is a pishtan. We just can't tell where the pishtan is. This is a tarovus of yavesh b'yavesh. Should I be able to wear this beged? What would you say according to the Rush?
Yes.
Yeah. Iser nefach liyos heter, right? That ruba kukulo, that the pishtan turns into the tzemer, and I should be able to wear the beged. What would you say according to the Rashba and the Rambam? Who agrees with the Rashba?
No.
Because the Iser is there. In other words, that even in Bitul Barov gives me the ability to eat one at a time. But here I want to wear the beged all at once. This is the equivalent of eating all three pieces simultaneously. According to the Rashba, in Yavish V'Yavish, I can't eat all three pieces simultaneously. No. So what's fascinating is that we look this up in the Gemara. Yes?
The piece of pishtan it's not actually usher by itself.
You're correct. It's not usher, right? And it's klape, it's a relative iser, klape the tzemer. Yeah. So your point is very, very insightful, and we'll see that in a minute. The Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis points out, Beged she'avad bo kilayim, in the third line, Samach Aleph Amid Beis in Yevamos, I'm sorry, in Nida, more Nida, Samach Aleph Amid Beis, Tanu Rabbanan, Beged she'avad bo kilayim, hareze lo yim kerenu lo oved kochavim, lo yasenam yerdas l'chamor, etc. We treat it as kilayim. Even though we don't know where the chut is, we treat it as kilayim. Tosus over there asks you, Tomar, liftil beruba. How do we treat this kilayim? Shibatil berov. Namely, that the Gemara is giving us the approach of the Rashba. Tosus asks the question, liftil beruba, what happened to the din of bitul berov? The Rashba would answer, bitul berov is called the person who parish, doesn't apply to the whole, it applies to pieces. Tosus comes on with a different answer, which is necessary according to the Rush. This is a sheet of Chachmei Ashkenaz, that similar to what Zev said, that we only lo shayach bitul berov ela kishiha iser meurav beheter aval bekilayim shneim heter. This is heter beheter as opposed to iser beheter. So in heter beheter we have no rubo kukulo. What is rubo kukulo? Is that X loses its identity of iser within the being overwhelmed by heter. But if you have heter and heter, yitachen nothing is being overwhelmed by anything. In other words, that we can't talk about bitul when we have heter beheter. That we'll talk about when we get to basar v'chalav. Of course, basar v'chalav is also heter beheter, and v'chalav that we have dinim of bitul. That we'll talk about. But we have to answer according to we have to explain according to the Rush why do we have a problem over here of kilayim? The Rush l'shitato should have over here the concept of bitul berov. But according to the Rashba, this is kafta v'ferach. Okay, that would be one nafgamina. Another nafgamina would be moving over to the world of chametz on Pesach. The chametz on Pesach, we know that we have two isurim. We have an isur of achila, and we also have an isur of bayera'a ubal yimatzei. What if we have a tarovus of chametz, yavesh b'yavesh, right? That we have on the table three matzahs. Two of these matzahs are pesedika matzahs, and one of these matzahs is a chametz dika matzah. Right? You can go in store and buy matzot chametz. Right? So, and we can't tell the difference. We're not talking about shmura matzah. We can't tell the difference between the regular Pesach matzah and the regular chametz matzah unless we see the box. And the box, out of the box. We know we have three pieces. Two of them are our matzah, and one of them is chametz, and we don't know which is which. Okay, so we're not going to eat them. The question is, can I keep it in my house? Is there a problem over here of bal yira'ah u bal yimatzeh? No, a priori, what would you say? Bechora, according to the Rashba, we should say, I can't keep them in my house. The chametz is here. I have an entire matzah, a kezayis of chametz, which is here. I just can't keep that in my house on Pesach. Mashenken, according to the Rush, we should say, Yavish be Yavish. We have over here, in other words, Bitul Barov, Iser Nehefach Lios Heter. Can I keep it? I could probably also eat it, according to the Rush. And that's what we would say it appeared to be. Anyway, if one opens up the Shulchan Aruch, the Siman Tuf Mem Beis, Siman Tuf Mem Beis Sif Aleph Din Ta'aroves Chametz. So Machaber Paskins Ta'aroves Chametz Ovrim Alav Mishum Ba'ira'e U'Ba'yimatzei. The Prima Gadim over there has a Hakdama. Just like he has Hakdamas to Tarovis, he has Hakdama over here within Orachayim, not just Hakdama at the very beginning, but he has the sections as well. He has a psicha to Siman Tuf Mem Beis. So in his psicha, about 20 lines in, there is a new paragraph being Va'ata, Le'inyan Bal Yerao Bal Yematzei. He points out that according to the Rambam, this din is Midaraisa. That we have over here a din midaraisa, that after shari ba'achila min ha-Torah yavish b'yavish chad b'trei, mekom makom over b'bal yira'ah, right? And then he brings the raya from Tumas Masa. he brings everything that we said. He says that, it's the Rambam would be l'shitato. This would be the Rambam, this would be the Rashba. However, the Mishnah Brura al atar in the beginning of Siman Tuf Mem Beis. But those who don't learn Prima Gadim in Hilchos Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah says over and above. V'rak midrabanan says that this is a din midrabanan, not midoraisa, and when he points out that it's a din midrabanan, the makor is basically Tosfos. In other words, that this is, that the Rush, Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, that's one Shita, Rambam and the Rashba, the other Shita. Okay, so that's another Nafkamina. Those two Nafkaminas are quoted in the Be'er Yitzhak. There is, in the back of the Gemaras, there's a parish called Cheshek Shlomo. So in the Cheshek Shlomo in Bechoros, I found it once, the Cheshek Shlomo in Bechoros, on Dafkav Gimel Amad Beis, brings another Nafkamina, a third nafkamina, and with that, then we'll move back to Hilchos Taroves. It also relates to Chametz on Pesach, but this time in the realm of Achila. Let's say that I'm back to my three matzahs. Okay, I have these three matzahs, and so if I ask, can I eat them on Pesach? So we paskin that Chametz on Pesach is aser even b'mashehu. It's an exception to the rule. That's a din drabanan. That's a din drabanan. And that's a din drabanan if it was nisarev on Pesach. That when you have chametz, which goes into something which is kosher le Pesach, on Pesach, even a mashahu, that's problematic. So if you were to have some milk that you put some vitamin D in on Pesach, and assuming that vitamin D has a chametz base, even if it's a mashahu, that chametz is usher on Pesach. If you put the vitamin D in the milk before Pesach, then it's batel. Right? Then we have a din of bitul. The question is, what happens if we have a taroves chametz from before Pesach, and then Pesach enters? Do we say choser v'niyur? Do we say, well, it's true, in other words, that before Pesach, we have the classic dinim of bitul. But when Pesach enters in, do we say choser v'nir, that the Easter which was there and was batel now turns into a monster? What would you say a priori? Should there be a din of choser v'nir in terms of chametz on Pesach?
How, yeah. How did Bittul ever happen before Pesach?
It wasn't Nikar, right?
Don't you need Isser to Mivatul Heter or Heter to Mivatul Isser? You don't have any before Pesach.
Yeah, okay, we have Inachinami. So the question we'll have to deal with whether how do we view Chametz in terms of Pesach? Is this called Isura Bala or Hetera Bala? In other words, so we have something which when Pesach enters is going to be Aser. Do we view this as Eastern potential or do we view it as Heter? It's a very good question. We'll come to that later on.
Why would it make a difference with for after Pesach? It's still become Bittul.
Not for after, for before or during. So you tell me why it should make a difference. You tell me. No, what do you say? According to the Rush, we say, what do you mean Chozer Menir? Once we have Bitul, this is what Adam is saying, once it's Batel, then Easter Nefach Leoseter, it's not there. What's Chozer Menir? There's nothing there. There's nothing there to wake up and to say, I'm here. It already is considered to be Heter. Masha Ein Kein, if we're dealing according to the Rashba, the Chametz is there. But what? We have a heter called the Parashim Parash. I'm allowed to slowly eat the mixture because I say everything I'm eating, this is heter, this is heter, this is heter, this is heter. But the Easter is there. Then we could speak about Chozer V'Nir. Not just, we could speak about it. It's something that lent itself to being in the picture. Tell me, would there be a distinction between Yavesh B'Yavesh and Lach B'Lach according to the Rashba? What do you say?
In Yavesh B'Yavesh, he would say,
he could say.
We're saying
it dissipates. Right. Again, all this is a priori. Without looking into the sources, we would say, according to the Rush, Yavish b'Yavish, Lach b'Lach, there's no distinction. The before Pesach, Rubo Kukulo, the Chametz is no longer here. So when Pesach comes in, what's the talk about Chozer Benir? According to the Rush, it would depend. Yavish b'Yavish, where the Chametz is there, just we have a heter of slowly eating. Then we could speak about Chozer Menir. Lach B'Lach, where we spoke about, even according to the Rashba, that it simply loses its identity. If it lost its identity, so there's nothing to talk about. Okay, we open up a Shulchan Aruch, Siman Taf Mem Zayin, and we begin to read Taf Mem Zayin Sif Aleph. One second. That won't help us. Sif Aleph, go a little further down the road. Sif Dalet. Im nisarev hachometz kodem Pesach, v'nisbatel. The Mesez de Mechaber, eino chozer v'nir b'Pesach le'esor b'mashehu. There's no such concept of chozer v'nir. V'yesh cholkin. Says the Rama, v'noagin kisvara rishona b'chol ta'rova shehu lach b'lach, u'mi b'dover yavesh, then, in other words, we say that it's Asur on Pesach. Namely, exactly what we would expect. Two deos in the Mechaber. We have the Rosh and the Rashba, and says the Ramah, but according to the second deah, there is a difference between Yavesh and Lach. Okay? In other words, so all of this fits into the structure. Namely, what we're trying to set up as a theoretical structure, this is it. This is Metzius. It has relevance to Hilchos Tarovis, has relevance to Kalayim, has relevance to Bal Yerol Bal Yematzei, has relevance to Chozer V'Nir. I mean, that if you're asked a question, you have to ask yourself, just a minute, we're talking about a Tarovis, we're talking Yavesh B'Yavesh, I have to deal with the Rashba and the Rosh. I'm talking about Lach B'Lach. I have to also deal with, you know, that even according to the Rashba, Lach B'Lach may be different. So just be aware that this is a structure. Again, all we're talking about now is just a foundation. This is the basement. We have to see what Rabbanan may have added in, etc., but this is the foundation in terms of Yavish B'Yavish and Lach B'Lach. There's one other shita I just want to bring in to the foundation before taking it to the next stage, and that is what's called by some of the Rishonim Shitas Rashi. We don't find it anywhere black on white in Rashi that we have on Shas, or even in the Shelos HaTshuvos, the best now we have of Rashi, but the Rishonim quote it in the name of Rashi. What we do find is that, I'll tell you in a minute what we find, but let's say first what the Shita is. The Shita is, let's take the picture of the Rashba. Let's put ourselves into the mindset of the Rashba. The Rashba says that in Yavesh B'Yavesh, the Easter is always there, but we can get around the problem by eating it slowly. And each piece that we eat will say that, well, the Easter's not here, right? Because called the Parish Meruba Parish. When we get to Lach B'Lach, we couldn't have used that svara according to the Rashba. So what did we say? The Easter self-destructs. Why? Because it dissipated. It dissolved.
it lost its intensity and therefore lost its identity when it becomes too when it's divided too many times, then it sort of loses identity. How much does it have to be divided to lose its identity? So the Rashba, you know, it's not holding on the Gemara. The Gemara seems to speak about the fact that lach b'lach l'chover is batel b'rov. There's the Shita of Rashi is that here we find the halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Kosh Baruch Hu tells us that when something is divided, so that it's now 60 times its original volume, namely that it's 1 in 60, it's lost its identity. Bitul b'shishim, halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that as long as you have it, something which is watered down, 1 to 10, 1 to 20, 1 to 30, 1 to 40, 1 to 50, it's still there. 1 to 60 already, that's it. That's already, no. That alpidin, it's as though it lost its identity. Those of you who are into homeopathic medication, you know that the homeopathic medication claims that 1 to 1,000, 1 to a million, there are still traces, right? Everything is relative. So the Torah tells us, in other words, according to the Shita, this is where the din of Shishim comes in as Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That when something is dissolved, 1 to 60, it loses its identity. We find this in a Tosfos, in all places, in Baba Metzia. Tosfos in Baba Metzia, on Daf, Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosfos says, it's Tosfos Yeramaskul V'Ola, the second Tosfos. Tosfos says that Mido Raisa, Truma, Orga, Kilei HaKerem, etc., Betelim Berov, B'Yovesh, U'Belach B'Shishim Kishari Surim. Shishim Kishari Surim? So the Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Yonashah, says, Koshali. We're talking over here about min b'mino. Min b'mino in lach, we didn't have to deal with these expressions yet, min b'mino, min shen b'mino, but let's just take it, v'atol b'na Torah b'rov. You know, it's where do you have shishim in a situation where there's no other factors other than the fact that we have over here two isurim that are very, very similar to one another. You know, that's the din of rov. So one of the tshuvas of the Rashba has a series of tshuvas called Minchas Kenaos. It's found in the Most Rav Kook edition in the end of the first volume of the Shelos HaTshuvas HaRashba. And in this Minchas Kenaos, that has a lot of prakim, it's one Perek Kavvav of Minchas Kenaos, he was asked a whole series of tshuvas. So one of the tshuvas he was asked was in terms of min demino yavesh b'yavesh, how much bitul it says. So he says, V'Rashi Zal holds that liftol baruba, lav dafka baruba kama. When the Gemara mentions ruba, it doesn't mean rov. It means klomar kishirab alav shishim kenegdo. Elashani kach daiti noted the rubo mamash ka'amar. In other words, that v'dakina l'idname perakazov, the loka perish Rashi. Well, in other words, that this is it's an unusual shita, but we understand where it's coming from. In other words, if you're dealing with a halachic bitul, you could speak about 1 and 2. If you're dealing with a bitul b'metzius, something loses its identity, it's very hard to say that in a ratio of 66 to 33, something has lost its identity. Right? If a baseball player bats 33, you know, 333, I mean, he gets into the Hall of Fame. You know, that's hard to say that's batel b'rov, right? But if he's batting 1 in 60, right, that's batel, right? Down to the minors. Anyways, that's really batel. So we have the shita of Rashi, again, working off, that makes sense, it fits in. It fits into the structure that if we have a concept of bitul metzius, it's not bitul b'rov, but rov over here means echad b'shishim. Just be aware that there's a shita that makes the Rashba's shita like a little sweeter in terms of svara. Yeah?
I know this isn't necessary to say now, but in case of min-mino, the svara does make a little more sense why you wouldn't necessarily need shishim.
Okay, I don't want to talk. We got not many people that. Okay. That's, yeah, if you get to be talking about min-mino, then it gets very, very confusing.
So let's start off with the concepts. What we know now at this point, it's remember taken out of my pocket before Shabbos. Okay, what we know now at this point is that when we have Yavesh B'Yavesh, or when we have Lach B'Lach, we have a concept of Bitul B'Rov, right? Bitul B'Taroves, and we pointed out that here we have two understandings, and here we have two understandings, and then we pointed out that according to one of these understandings, right, according to the Rashba over here, according to this understanding, we have this Shita, which is known as Rashi Shita. We have a halacha Moshe Misinai, that this rove means, in this context, shishim. The rove means that it, you know, like a real rove, a greiser rove, a rove of shishim, in order to say, according to the Rashba, that it self-destructs. Well, according to the Rosh, we have over here a halachic bitul. Halachic bitul, Yisur Nefach Yos Heter, that's a classic rove. Over here, the Rosh, right, is Lishitato, both of these are classic bitulim, and over here we have the Rashba, of the called the parish, Mimuva parish, by Yavesh B'Yavesh. That's what we spoke about up to this point. Now, the assumption is that we're talking about an Easter and a Heter that are exactly identical. And then we can have this whole structure. What if we have a situation where my non-kosher meat is green, and my kosher meat is brown, and I have three pieces on the table, two kosher and one non-kosher? What would be the halacha? You can't speak about bitul. It's not a tarovas. It doesn't get off the ground. It's not a tarovas. Then we have over here a principle that we never say bitul if nikar ha'isur. Right? If nikar ha'isur, if the isur is obvious that it's there, we don't speak about bitul. We can only speak about bitul when it's eno nikar ha'isur. Everyone will agree with that, al pisvara, that we're not talking about a case of nikar ha'isur. If the isur would be tagged in some way, and we know what it is, either by its color, or we know by its radioactivity, or we know in some way that we have over here an Isur, then we would have a problem. Yes?
Even if it's less than 1/60th, and we can taste it, it's a soup, it's less than 1/60th, and we can taste
so
it.
So now the question is, what about Tom? How do we view our sense of taste? If let's say we are dealing with our chicken soup, and into our chicken soup fell a non-kosher ingredient of that we can taste. We taste it. It's celery. It's celery of Tevel fell into our chicken soup, and we can taste it. So do we say that the moment we taste it, that's Nikar Ha'isar? And then we can't speak any longer about bitul. Or, what other possibility is there? Do we say that maybe...
that even though we taste it, it's totally... we run an assumption that Esar Heter...
That maybe what we taste is history. We know that an Easter once fell into here. That we know. I mean, we taste it. We taste celery once fell into here. But that's no longer Esar. Namely, the taste is not telling us what's there. The taste is telling us what was there. It's simply, you know, it's giving us a sense of where the history of this chicken soup, but there's nothing there, really. Now, it's all that there is taste. There's nothing you can put your finger on. There's no Easter there, but mamashas. That's the way one could explain the question as to whether ta'am ke'ikar. Do we say that if we taste it, it's as though it's there, ta'am ke'ikar? That we taste it, it's as though it's there, or not. That tasting it is the mitzius of the Easter. So we have over here a machlokes, whether tam ki ikar is the oraisa, or tam ki ikar is the rabbana. Tam ki ikar mi the oraisa means that the Easter is there. And once the Easter is there, then we can no longer deal with the world of bitul. If we have tam ki ikar, then we can't talk about bitul on a d'oraisa plane because it's nikar ha'isur. The taste is telling us the isur is there. Yes, Shimon.
I don't know how relevant is it, but why couldn't we just do lafrish from the soup?
Theoretically, one could.
In other words, if it was tefa, one could, in other words.
So why wouldn't we differentiate from materium?
Is tevel a davar sheyesh lamaterium? That we'll have to see. So the davar sheyesh lamaterium needs something that has to be, or something that can be. In other words, does it have to be like normally the kas davar sheyesh lamaterium muktzah? That when Motzei Shabbos comes and time is marching, it's going to automatically become muktzah. Here, what you're pointing out is there is a way of making it mutter. Were I to be mafresh, I have a method. Is that called davar sheyesh lamaterium? We'll deal with it. This goes back to what we spoke about. Rabbi Ganak alluded to it. Is there a mitzvah to be mafresh trumos and maisros, or it is simply a way of my eating it, but it's not a mitzvah to have to be mafresh? Is this something pushing me? Okay, but let's leave that aside if it's okay. Just want to get it down the ekron note. So Tam ki Iker is telling us that we have this rule that Nikar ha'Iser is not batel, and Tam ki Iker midaraisa means that Tam is telling us that the Iser is there, it's Nikar ha'Iser, it's not batel. Tam ki Iker drabanan means that midaraisa, Tam is telling us it's a history. There's really nothing there. Midrabanan will be machmir, but Mi'ikar adin, there's really nothing there. This is a machlokas Rishonim. 99% of Rishonim hold Tam ki Iker midaraisa. Rashi holds Tam ki Iker midrabanan. Rashi in Chulin and Daf Tzadiches Amud Beis towards the bottom. He's the one who says Tam ki Iker midaraisa is. He holds Tam ki Iker is midrabanan. Just one second. Get to where I want to get. Yeah. L'chora, Rashi has an interesting makar in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. We'll have to deal with it. What will the other Rishonim do with it? That there is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, in which Rav Yochanan states as follows: Amar Vavahu, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ta'amo Veloma Masho. All I have is ta'am. I can't put my finger on anything. Right? No pieces floating around. I just have a taste of Iser. Rav Yochanan says, Asur ve'en lokan alav. Asur ve'en lokan alav. So Rashi says, Kanereh, tam ki Iker is midrabanan. Asur ve'en lokan alav. In other words, the Torah is telling us, that the Chazal are telling us, don't think that we have over here an Iser. That's the language over there of Rashi and Kulin. And Daf Tzadi Chesim at Beis. Midoraisa Beruba Batel, but we just have a problem when you have Tam, Midrabanan. Behochi Shaminan Le Bidrav Yochanan, Bemesechas of Adazara, Kol Shetam Ovra Mamasho, Ein Loken Alav. What about all the other Rishonim? They didn't know about this Gemara. So what they'll do with this Gemara, we'll see in a few minutes. But they have a raya from a Gemara in Psachim. V'hodam yafina le mipsachim mi nazir o mishras lita in tam ki ikar. There are sugyas in Psachim, the whole blot of Gemara. And v'daf memdalan amad aleph, memdalan amad beis, that they bring all sorts of rayas at tam ki ikar is mida raisa. So svira lehu amaroi basroi, Asmachta bi'almahu. That also, Yodas Tzukim that they're bringing over there, they're all Asmachta bi'alma, v'rav le'melach lehu, havelei nazir v'gulei klei nachrim, shneksu v'abam ki echad, or it's a chiddush, and we can't learn out from him, we have exceptions to the rule. In other words, you can't prove anything. We may have a din of tam ki ikar midaraisa in kodshim. We may have a din of tam ki ikar midaraisa in nazir. We may have a din of tam ki ikar midaraisa by gulei klei midyan, but that's it. Not b'chala Torah kula. It doesn't apply to your pot of chicken soup. Your pot of chicken soup, the tam is just history, and we're just being machmir on a drabanan plane, but not midaraisa.
Okay. It's a raya for Rashi.
What?
It's a raya for Rashi.
No. This is what Rashi does with all those, and we have a whole blot of Gemara that appears that tam ki ikar is midaraisa, and we see it in Nazir, and we see it in gulei klei midyan, and we see it by kodshim. Rashi says, those are all exceptions. This is a chiddush. This is shnei chesuvim ba'am ki echad. This is a chumra. In other words, you can't learn out anything from that sugya. And he basically is basing himself on this concept of tamo v'lamamasho ein lo kenala. So A, we have a machlokas as to whether we have a concept of bitul midaraisa when you have tam. According to Moshe, when you have tam, we can't speak about bitul. According to Rashi, we can speak about bitul when you have tam. That's one machlokas. B, we have connected to this machlokas, a secondary machlokas which is very important in terms of halacha, and that is, let's assume we have tam. Again, we're dealing with a case of some non-kosher vegetable soup I have vegetable soup, and some non-kosher chicken soup falls into my vegetable soup. And when I taste it, I taste some chicken soup. You know, it doesn't taste like pure vegetable soup. I can taste the chicken in the vegetable soup. Okay, so we have over here ta'am. How much soup do I have to eat, if we hold ta'am ki ikar midaraisa, to get malchus? How much soup do I have to eat to get malchus? Now, if I was eating pure non-kosher chicken soup, how much soup would I have to eat to get malchus? A kazayis worth of soup. Okay? But currently, I have an admixture. Let's assume we have the following ratio. We have a ratio of 1 to 4. In other words, I have 3 parts of vegetable soup and 1 part of chicken soup. How many kazayisim of soup do I have to eat in order to be able to get malchus? Not looking forward to getting malchus, but assuming that I ate the soup with Edim and Hasra, how much soup would I have to eat in order to get malchus? What are the two options? One kazayis of soup or 4 kazayisim of soup. Right? What would it mean to say it's enough if I eat 1 kazayis of soup? So here we have a machlokas rishonim. The halacha is that if tam ki ikar is the oraisa, if tam ki ikar is, what color was on the board earlier? If tam ki ikar is the oraisa, so then most rishonim say it's enough if I eat 1 kizayis of soup. Why is that? So I can view this in one of two ways. We have a din in Nazir called Heter Mitztaref L'Iser. What does Heter Mitztaref L'Iser mean? Let's give you an example. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Right? He's also not allowed to eat grapes. Correct? He's also not allowed to eat grape jelly. Right? What if a Nazir were to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? How much does he have to eat to get malchus for breaking his nazirus? So the halacha is the Gemara that says it's enough if he eats 1 kazayis, which is made up of grape jelly, peanut butter, and bread. Heter mitztaref le'iser. That we have a unique halacha in nazirus called heter mitztaref le'iser. That if the nazir is eating simultaneously heter and iser, the heter is mitztaref to the shear of the iser. So you could say, maybe the din of Tam Kikar Midaraisa is that B'chol HaTorah Kula, we don't have a din of Heter Mitztaref L'Iser for eating things simultaneously. But maybe if we have one which is absorbed by the other, let's say, the Nazir Shishara Pito B'Yayim, the Nazir takes his bread and he dips it into wine, that the wine now, the wine and the bread become one unit, the bread is Boleya, the wine. Maybe that b'chol ha'tarakhu, we have a din like that. Maybe, let's say someone is sitting at a table, and he has glatt kosher bread, and he has in front of him a plate of non-kosher chicken soup, and he's dipping his bread into the chicken soup, and he's eating it as it's absorbed in the bread. Maybe over here there's a principle, kein heter mitztaref l'iser, a din in shiurim, that when you have heter and iser that come together, as they turn into a compound, that they are now connected, not just the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but we're talking about that the bread absorbs the non-kosher material, maybe there we have this din of tziruf of shiurim. Maybe that's the way to understand why, if you hold tam kikar midoraisa, it's enough to have a kezayis, because this is a form of heter mitzarif leiser. That's one option. And you can read into Rashi over there in Psachim, Adaf Mem Dalet, maybe that's what it means. Again, not the classic heter mitzarif leiser of eating them simultaneously, but rather we have over here a new organic unit of heter and iser, that then even the heter will be mitztarif in shiurim. It's a din in shiurim. The heter remains heter, the iser is iser, but in terms of shiurim, we'll deal with the shiur of kezayis as including the heter. Or, let's take Adam's approach and say, if we hold tam ki ikar d'oraisa, what this is telling us is the converse of the rosh. Namely, that heter Naase Iser. Going back to our case of the vegetable soup that absorbed the chicken soup, 3-1. So I can say the moment that I have 3-1, and I taste the vegetable, I taste the chicken soup in the vegetable soup. So then, Heter Naase Iser, the vegetable soup turns into Iser. And if I eat one kezayis of soup, that's already enough. I ate a kezayis of alpidin of non-kosher soup. And this is what the Rosh himself says. Just as the Rosh has a din of iser nefach lios heter, we have a din of heter nefach lios iser. This is part of the concept of tam ki ikar mida oraisa, according to most Rishonim. Yes?
According to the first spin, you only have to eat a kezayis?
Kezayis.
Two hesberim
as to why it's enough to eat one kezayis. But according to each of these hesberim, it's enough if I eat one kezayis. Mashi enken, according to Rashi, the tam ki ikar is midrabanan. According to Rashi, if it's midrabanan, I have to eat all four kezayisim. I have to eat four kezayisim. When I eat four kezayisim, then I know that I ate a kezayis of Iser. I have three of Heter and one of Iser. So we have over here two nafgaminas with a tam ki ikar d'oraisa or tam ki ikar d'rabana. One is, do I get malchus? When I have tam, right? Oh, I don't have any be'en. All I have is tam. Do I get malchus? That's one nafgamina. The second nafgamina is, how much do I have to eat? Everyone agrees I have to eat a kezayis of Iser. Do I, in other words, but do I say that one kezayis is enough because of some special heter mitztarif leiser, or more likely heter naase iser, or do I say no? In other words, the heter is the heter, the iser is the iser. I have to eat four kezayisim in order to be able to get to the level of one kezayis of iser. So these are two nafkaminas between Rashi and Old Ishar. A third nafkamina, of course, would be if I have a suffix. If I have over here to the proper tam, is this a sveka d'oraisa or a sveka d'rabana? Right, but the two, anyway, that's part of the first one. In other words, do we get malchus in terms of svekas? Is this d'oraisa or d'rabana? And secondly, in terms of the nature of tam ki ikar, in terms of the nature of tam ki ikar, that the heter naase iser is a very real halacha. Let me give you a nafkamina. Yes.
So just according to Rashi, you need to approach this in order.
Then it's a, in other words, it certainly, if you eat only one, then certainly you wouldn't get nakas markus. It would be a chatzi shir of a drabanan. We violate the drabanan to get makas markus, right? To be possibly edus. So then you would require, yes.
What is the number of kezayisim that I can do with this d'oraisa d'rabanan?
Saying that if we have a din of tam ki ikar midoraisa, we're saying it tells us two things. A, that what you taste is really there currently, it's not just a question of history. B, according to the Rush, this is the Rush. The Rush and Rabbeinu Tam. according to the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam, we say that Tam Kikar Midoraisa means that Tam, the Kafa Dimyon over here, means Tam is Iker. Tam is Iker. Tam is telling us that this is the Metzius. This is what we have. If I taste non-kosher chicken soup, this is non-kosher chicken soup. Masha'en Kain, if Tam Kikar Midrabanan, A, the whole level of the Iser is Drabanan. Secondly, what Tam Kikar means is that just as I have an Iser of Iker, I also have an Iser of Tam. But Tam doesn't mean that that the whole thing is now Iser. Let me give you an example from a different realm. Maybe that will be a little clearer. There's a Mishnah in Chala, which is quoted in the Gemara. The Mishnah in Chala is in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. We have a Mishnah in Chala. It's quoted in the Gemara in Zvachim, Dafayim Ches, which says as follows. Asa Isa min hachitin u min haorez. I want to bake matzah. I am in China. I managed to get a small amount of kosher wheat flour that didn't go through any process of being watered down, etc., etc. But it's not enough for me to get three full matzahs. So I'm in China. So I take some rice flour and I mix the rice flour and my wheat flour, and I bake matzahs. So the Mishnah states, "Asa isa min achitin min haores im yeshba ta'am dogon." If when I taste these matzahs, they taste like matzah. I remember what matzah tastes like. It tastes like matzah, not like a rice patty. If it tastes like matzah, then chayeves b'chala v'adam yotze bo yedei chavasa b'pesach. It's pesedik. Okay, this is based on tam ki ikar being mida oraisa. Now, if I taste it, that means I have over here a form of matzah, and I can be yotze the chova mida oraisa. So the Machlokes Rishonim, is this dafka orez? Because orez is very, very unique in the fact that it is very similar in many of its characteristics to the five minim of grain. And one makes a bori minim of zonos when one would to eat something made out of orez. But generally, it's not machmitz. But maybe over here we'll say that if I mix the orez and the grain together, maybe we have over here that one is nigrar. My grain will be like the locomotive, and it'll pull the orez along with it to be considered to be like a quasi grain. But what's I do with something that's nothing to do with the world of grains? Let's say I were to take tofu, and I were to take two parts kemachita, and one part tofu. And tofu, it's supposed to be knowledge, is tasteless, right? And I would put it together, and it would taste like matzah. Would I be yotzei by eating matzah? So, if we say that the din over here in Shiurim is based on heter mitzari from Isur, etc., that's in terms of getting malchus. That's nothing to do with being yotzei yedei chova on Pesach. But if we have a din of heter naase Isur, namely that the minority gets the status of the taste, or anything gets the status of the taste, then heter naase isur. So then basically what I'm saying is tam ki ikar, I have over here matzahs. I can turn my tofu into matzah. Tam ki ikar. The moment it tastes like matzah, then it is matzah. The tofu turns into grain. The tofu al pidin has the status of grain. That's what's said over here by Rabbeinu Tam. And we have over here a principle of bitul in the other direction, right? That we have bitul. We saw previously we can be mevatel isurim that isur nefach lios heter. Here we're saying tam ki ikar is not just that the tam is not batel, but the tam is what's the defining factor. The tam is telling us that this mixture of vegetable soup and chicken soup is non-kosher chicken soup. This matzah, which is a mixture of grain and tofu, is grain. Adam yotzei bo yedei chavasa v'esa. That's what would come out according to Rabbeinu Tam, in terms of tam ki iker. Yes.
Why wouldn't that be the same legabi orez? Why is it different?
Orez, you could say maybe orez is an exception because orez is like if you want to call the five minim like avos, so orez would be like a tolda. Namely, we say we you know it's that it's considered to be davar hamazin, and it is machmitz. There is a process of fermentation. I mean, if you drink sake, you know there's a process of fermentation. Even by orez, but it's not called chimutz. Chemically, those who are into chemistry, so chemically there's somewhat sort of a difference between what goes on in fermentation of rice and fermentation of grain. But becholzot, the language which is used by the poskim is that the orez is nigrar by the chita. If you want to see someone talking about it, so the Machasis HaShekel talks about it in Siman Tav Nun Gimel. Siman Tav Nun Gimel, Sifkat and Yudalet, he deals with how this is nigrar, how it's pulled along. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, orez is just an example of something from which you can make matzah. Nowadays, we could use tofu, we could use soya, we could use perhaps corn. Now, something which has nothing to do with mezonos. Something which is kidneyos, nothing to do with mezonos. And becholzot, if it's going to taste like a matzah, that's all that one would require.
So,
yes?
We got the nafkamina between Rashi and Shari Shonim of
yes.
Malchus. Well, I thought we said from the Gemara right there that you don't get Malchus for Tavli.
Ah. So over here, so Gershon is raising, just a minute, we explain what Rashi does with the Raya of most of the Rishonim. The Raya, all the Rishonim build on the Sugi and Psochem, Emdalim and Aleph, Emdalim and Deis, that gives a whole slew of situations where you have Tamkikir Midoraisa, and therefore they say these are Binyan Av to Kol HaTorah Kula. Rashi says, no, that Gemara is a Yotzei Dofen and a Yotzei Dofen and a Yotzei Dofen. It's all Asmach Ta'ot. We can't learn anything from that Gemara. But Rashi had a Gemara of Ta'amo V'lo Mamosho, Asur V'ein Lokan Alav. What do all the Rishonim do with that Gemara? So over there, in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Samach Zayin Amar Aleph, there is a Hamangis Tosfos, Dirim Aschil Amar Rav Yochanan, that goes from Amud Aleph to Amud Beis, and it's just cute. When I listened to Rabbi Ganak, he used the phrase fancy schmancy. That's a phrase that Rav Schechter turned into part of the literature, part of the vocabulary of why you rebate. So I don't know, Hamangis, that's my word. You have over here this Hamangis Tosfos. I remember when I was in Yeshiva, so Rav Schechter was still marking the Bechinas of the Rav. So when he began giving shiurim, he used to give shiurim in Orach Chaim, like a chabura in Hilchos Shabbos. In Orach Chaim, we went through the Hakdama of the Prima Godim to Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, and then went through the Hakdama of the Prima Godim to everything else. Okay, in any case, so even then he already used the phrase fancy schmancy. So Rabbi Ganak, we were together in the chabura, we both picked it up. I try not to use it because it's his word. Okay, but over here, and we have this long Tosfos that has like six terutzim of Balei HaTosfos, what to do with this Gemara. Why Osur V'ein Lokan Alav? And they range from the fact that we're dealing with an Isur Doraisa without Malkos, like an Isur Asay, or you know, in that direction, or that something else over here is missing. No, it's, but there, you know, you have six terutzim of Tosfos as to how to deal with that Gemara of Ein Lokan Alav. Yes?
In the case of the rice and the wheat,
yes? Could be the other way around as well, right? You could be 1,000. You're 100% correct. In other words, what Shimon's pointing out is that it's not a question of the rice being bought the other way around. It could be just like if you were to have even 10% wheat, 10% wheat and 90% tofu, but it would taste like wheat. It would taste like a matzah. That should also be good. Tam ki iker. The moment that we have ta'am, it's telling us that the iker is there. That is the iker. That is the chefza. The chefza is defined by the ta'am. If it tastes like matzah, then it's matzah. Okay.
What about all these new food,
I was just thinking
of the
if it tastes like rye, then it's Levi's, right? What? Yes?
You can make things taste like other things. I mean, say it has 1% wheat, but 80% of wheat flavoring in this,
that are no. Wheat flavoring is shtuyot. I'm talking about wheat. It has to taste like wheat. Not the world we live in nowadays. Okay. Alma de Shikra. Okay. Dealing with Alma de Shikra, just in terms of Rabbi Ganak's introduction of me the other day,
I happen to have been a Talmud of... I was a chemistry major. So I studied with Rav Shmuel Soloveitchik Zatzal. He was a tremendous tzaddik. I studied with him inorganic chemistry. He was a gadol in chemistry. Just a word about him. I said, once you mask your... That always said he studied a tremendous amount when he was teaching. And he once told me, he used to sit in Beis Hamikdash and learn Yerushalmi. He would just sit in Beis Hamikdash at night and learn Yerushalmi. So since I was a chemistry major and I studied with him, so I used to talk to him. So, you know, I asked him, why is he learning Yerushalmi when the whole world is learning Bavli? So he told me that when he was a kid, that he had a sibling rivalry with his older brother, Rav Yoshe Ber, as to who was going to be the next in line, right? You had Rav Chaim, right? And then, according to the children of Moshe, you had Rav Moshe. And then, who was going to be next in line? Who was going to be the next one? And he had a nervous breakdown. I mean, you have to really go against the rope. He had a nervous breakdown. And his father took him to some psychiatrist or psychologist in Switzerland. And the psychiatrist listened to the whole situation and said that he has to choose a different field, something easy that he wouldn't have a strain. So he went into chemistry. He went into chemistry, and he was a god on chemistry. He told me that he wrote the you know, he sent to Linus Pauling. Linus Pauling got the Nobel Prize for a periodic chart. He told it, it was his. He had his notes, and he sent it to Linus Pauling. Yeah, it's very nice, and he published it. So he was a gadol, but he decided, in terms of learning, so that he wouldn't get another nervous breakdown, he'll go into Yerushalmi. He'll learn Yerushalmi. No one learns Yerushalmi. He'll learn Yerushalmi. The Rav will be in the Bavli. He'll be in the Yerushalmi. Everything else will be fine. Anyway, so when it came time when he was Niftar, so I was the only Talmud that was a chemistry major. I mean, there wasn't the big thing to be a chemistry major. In the Rav Shir. So, you know, so that's why they asked me to be Maspid. I never wish you should ever have to be Maspid. The third hesped, when the first one's given by the Rav, the second one's given by Rav Aharon Soloveitchik. And now we call upon David Miller to be master. They said there, at the ripe old age of 20. So that's very next story, okay? So it's nothing, no rising stars, falling stars, Mechule. Stam, I happen to have been a chemistry major. In terms of Rabbi Schechter's introduction, I don't know. I told them not going to introduce them. They could have done me the same favor, not introduce me, or not mention. But anyway, we happened to grow up in the Bronx together. Okay, and that's about it. We respect one another. At least I respect him tremendously. Kind of he respects me as well. But our parents were very good friends and colleagues. And in terms of what he spoke about yesterday, at the in terms of growing up as a rabbi's son. I had a wonderful experience growing as a rabbi's son, although I never wanted to be a rabbi. And I only became a rabbi at the age of 50 because my father came on Aliyah. And he lived with us, and I felt that if my father's kavod, either he had to be the rabbi of the shul or I had to be the rabbi of the shul. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to daven in the shul because he was used to a certain signon of a sermon, etc. And since he was already... close to 80 years old when he came on Aliyah, 81 years old when he came on Aliyah, so I figured I had to become the rabbi of the shul. So I became the rabbi of the shul. That's the only reason I became the rabbi of the shul. And so once you're the rabbi, then so you're stuck. So I'm still the rabbi of the shul. He was telling his stories about, you know, growing up as a rabbi's son. So I told him once, we have a story in our house that my father once called up Rav Schechter. They used to speak to one another on Erev Shabbos to exchange sermons. Sermon ideas. And Rav Schechter answered, "Hello?" And my father said, "Herschel, it's Izzy." So I said, "Oh, hello." In other words, there was a certain, you know, to be a rabbi in that time, you had to have, you had to dress in a certain way, you had to talk rabbinic. You had to talk rabbinic. Said, "Hello?" "Oh, hello." Right, but our parents were very, very good friends. And but he went to Philly, he was a firm one. I went to Ramaz. Kadosh Baruch Hu has funny hashgacha. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a very good sense of humor. Very fine sense of irony. Okay, in any case, so now we're both in YU. Okay, so anyway, so that's Tosfos. Right? Get back to what we're talking about. So Tosfos over here has a lot of terutzim of how one deals with Rashi's Raya. Okay, but
what we do have to point out, you know, to be intellectually honest, is that Rav Yochanan said two statements. So Rav Yochanan says as follows. San Samach Zayin Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Shetamo Umamosho Asur V'zehu Kedei Kol Shetamo Umamosho Asur V'lokin Alav V'zehu Kizayis B'chdei Achilas Pras Tamo V'loma Masho Asur V'ein Lokin Alav. That's the statement of Rav Yochanan. He has a statement of Tamo Umamosho and Tamo V'loma Masho, which means, according to Rashi, as follows. According to Rashi, when Rashi says Tam Ki Iker is Drabanan, Rashi agrees that there is a concept of tam, which is midoraisa, but not pure tam. Tam of veloma masha, that's pure tam. Kagon chelav shenafal, kagon chogav shenafal lekdeira, or chelav shenafal sheni moach ein mamasho ve'en. If all you have is tam and nothing you can put your finger on, that's tam of veloma masha. According to Rashi, that's drabanan. But if you have tamo umamasho, tamo umamasho, namely that there are little pieces of Easter that are there. You can't pull them out. Like you have this vegetable soup. You know, it's all mixed together. You can't pull them out, but there are pieces that are there. Rashi agrees that's Nikara Easter. Then the Tam is telling us that the Easter really is there, and on that you would get Malkos. Now, it's not as though Rashi is, you know, doesn't hold of Tam on a Daraisa plane. If you have Tam Umamosho, and you have a ratio of 1 to 8, because I have less brass, that would be Daraisa V'lokin Alav. Ta'amo v'loma masho, pure ta'am, that's where Rashi disagrees. All the other Rishonim say no, that even pure ta'am, lokin alav, and this, when it says over here, ta'amo v'loma masho, ain't lokin alav, that's for all these other side reasons. In other words, but that's, in other words, I should say the way around. All the other Rishonim say that ta'amo v'loma, when you have pure ta'am, it's asur do'oraisa. You may not get malkos for some reason, but it's still asur mido'oraisa. Okay, so we had this, that's the Gemara over here. What I want to talk about just now, just for a few minutes, and then we'll finish for the day, is the Rambam Shita, and then we'll finish. And what, or it's where we're moving to next time, although I know that it may sound a little difficult in terms of, since you began Tzarichet, is Min Domino and Min B'Sheino Mino. In other words, last time we dealt with Yavesh B'Yavesh Lach B'Lach. Today we're talking about Tam. Next time we'll talk about Min Domino and Min B'Sheino Mino. Okay. So the Rambam Shita of Tam is found in Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros, in the beginning of Perek Tesvav. The Rambam over there, Halachos Aleph through Gimel, says as follows. Chelev klayot shenafal l'toch hagrisin. Klayot, the chelev of the klayot, says in the Torah, is considered to be chelev. Chelev is macholos asuros. What if chelev klayot fell into grisin, into your barley mix, v'nimolach hakol, and the chelev dissolved totally. Toa minas hagrisin. We taste the barley. Imlo nimtza behen tam chelev harei elu mutarim. Clearly, the rove is grisin. We have no taste of chelev. It's mutter. Nimtza behem tam chelev, v'haya behem mamosho. We'll speak in a minute. Harei elu asurin min haTorah. This is the first part of Rav Yochanan's statement. Tam u'mamosho asur v'lokin alav. Nimtza behem tam v'lohaya behem mamosho. Harei elu asurin min divrei sofrim. What does mamosho mean? So it says as follows. Ketzad hu mamosho. Kagon shehaya min achelev kizayis b'chol shalosh beitzim in atarovas. We have a ratio of 1 to 6. Aval achal min hagrisim ha'im. Then, im achal min hagrisim ha'elu kishalosh beitzim. If you eat the entire tarovas, all six. In other words, we say that it's 1 kizayis to 3 kebeitzim. A kizayis is half a beitza. So 1 kizayis to 3 kebeitzim is a ratio of 1 to 6. So if you eat the entire 3 beitzim, namely the 6 kezesim, hoil v'yesh bohem kezayis min achelev, within this 1 to 6, you have a kezayis of chelev, then loke, shehare ta'am ha'isur u'mamasho kayam. Abol pachos mishalosh beitzim, then mikev makinoso makas maridus midivrehem. If the ratio is 1 to 6, then, and you eat the entire taroves, then you'll get malkos. If the ratio is 1 to 7, 1 to 8, 1 to 9, then even if you taste the grisim, you get makas maridus midrabanan. That's what the Rambam says. What's going on over here? What does the Rambam hold? So this is a basic machlokas between the Beis Yosef and Rav Chaim. Okay. The Beis Yosef says the Rambam paskins like Rashi. The Rambam paskins that tam ki ikar is midrabanan. How did the Beis Yosef know the Rambam paskins that tam ki ikar is midrabanan? What's the case of the Rambam? The case of the Rambam is that we have over here a pot, and in this pot we have 6 kezesim of heter. I should say we have a loop. Okay. Okay, we have 6 kezesim of heter, and we have 1 kezayis of iser. Okay, 6, actually it's... But this, you know, the 6 and the 1 doesn't mean we have 7. We have 6 plus 1 that equals 6. Because the 1 kezayis of Iser dissolved, and it doesn't, you know, have any volume. It's simply, you know, the volume that we have is basically 6. And what we have over here, a volume of 6, and within this volume of 6, we have 1 kezayis of Iser. Okay? Within the volume of 6, we have 1 kezayis of Iser. What does Rambam say? How much do you have to eat to get malkos? How much do you have to eat to get malkos? The entire amount. So Reb Chaim says, you see, the Rambam holds tam ki ikar is midrabana, because we said if you hold tam ki ikar, I'll come. If you hold tam ki ikar is midaraisa, then heter naasa iser, it should be enough to eat 1 kezayis. So the basis says, you see, the Rambam over here holds tam ki ikar is midrabana. If tam ki ikar is midrabana, how do you get malkos? So we pointed out. Rabbi Yochanan says, even according to Rashi, that tamo veloma masho, that's makanoso makos maridus. Tamo umamasho, that you get malkos. What does tamo umamasho mean? So Rashi said, tamo veloma masho means something dissolves, and tamo umamasho means they're little pieces. Rambam says, no. Difference is how much do you have? How much do you have? If you have a ratio of 1 to 6, a ratio of 1 to 6, that we call tamo umamasho. A ratio of 1 to 7, etc., that we call tam over lamamasha. Going back to the beginning of our chart, we pointed out if something is nikar ha'iser, it's not batel. So Rambam is telling us that ta'am can sometimes be not batel if we have ta'am and a ratio of 1 to 6. When we have that in an intense ratio of 1 to 6, and ta'am, that is not, that's considered to be nikar ha'iser, that tells us that the iser is there. The Iser is there. If we have a ratio of 1 to 7, 1 to 8, 1 to 9, and we have Tam, that tells us that the Iser was there. When the Iser is there or was there, Tam Kikar Doraisa, Tam Kikar Dorabanan, that depends upon the ratio according to the Rambam. So the Rambam holds that the Iker Adin Tam Kikar is Midrabanan. Generally, Tam alone, Tam alone is Midrabanan. You only get Makas Maridus. If we have a certain ratio, that's called Dikar Ha'iser, and we're going to get Malkos. But Mi'ikar Hadin, the Rambam holds that Tam Ki'ikar is Midrabanan. How do we know that? Because the Rambam says that even when we have this ratio, you have to eat the entire amount. If you have to eat the entire amount, it means we don't say that Heter Nasa Iser. We don't say Heter Nasa Iser. That's not Tam Ki'ikar Midaraisa. That's the approach of the Beis Yosef. I mean, the Beis Yosef says that Rashi and the Rambam basically agree with that Tam Ki'ikar is Midrabanan. They disagree on 2 pratim. What's called Nikar Ha'iser? According to Rashi, Nikar Ha'iser is Tam plus little pieces. That's Tam o Umamasho. So one machlokas is, simply technically, frustrated, that simply technically, We have tam and mamashal. According to Rashi, mamashal means that we have pieces. When you have tam and pieces, that's nikar re'iser. According to the Rambam, tam and mamashal means tam with an intensity of mamashal. Tam with a ratio of 1 to 6. That's one machlokas. Second machlokas is simply a technical machlokas. What is kezayis b'chdei achilas pras? The Rambam holds it's 1 to 6. Rashi holds it's 1 to 8. Right. Is it a kezayis in 3 beitzim or a kezayis in 4 beitzim? That's the whole machlokas. But what's the main point? Not the technical matter of what's mamasha or is this 1 to 6 or 1 to 8. Do we say over here you have to eat the whole kezayis, the whole kedera, or is it enough simply to eat a kezayis? If you hold tam kikar doraisa, it's enough to eat a kezayis. If we say that tam kikar is drabonic, eat the whole kedera. Since the Rambam says that when you eat the entire amount, then you get malkos, kaner the Rambam holds basically tam kikar is midrabonic. That's the shita that was picked up by everyone. Everyone assumes the Rambam shita is tam kikar is midrabonic. Rabbi Ganek, when he gave his shir, said, well, according to the Rambam, the tam kikar is midoraisa. That's Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, and anyone who, you know, like that's how it may change the world. Reb Chaim says that according to the Rambam, tam ki ikar is midaraisa. Tam ki ikar midaraisa means that if we have a suffix daraisa lachumra. It means that when you eat the ta'am, you know, that then you get malkos because it's doraisa. That's a ta'am. Ta'am ki ikar is midoraisa. But according to the Rambam, even if ta'am ki ikar is midoraisa, we don't say heter nasa iser. The Rambam had a different view of ta'am ki ikar than Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, ta'am ki ikar midoraisa means heter nasa iser, etc. According to the Rambam, we have a new din of achilas ta'am. Namely, that the Torah tells us that there's an iser chefza of nevela, an iser chefza of chametz on Pesach, an iser chefza on chazir. We have all these isure cheftzas. And then the Torah tells us, chelev, kol chelev, we have a ribui, that eating ta'am is awesome. Not that the ta'am is ki'ikar. Not that the Tam is telling us that there's a cheftza of Iser, and then that cheftza of Iser can turn everything into a cheftza of Iser. No. We have an Iser of eating Tam. It's an Iser achila. We have an Iser of eating Be'en, and we have an Iser of eating Tam. But the Tam is not the Be'en. It's a separate parallel Iser of eating Tam. And this Iser of eating Tam, we're going to get Malkos on when we have a ratio of 1 to 6. That tells us that we have over here enough of a meaningful Tam in order to be able to get malkos. However, the ta'am is just that. In other words, you're only going to get to the iser of achilas ta'am if you eat the entire mixture. We don't have over here a cheftz of iser. We have a separate iser achila. And then Reb Chaim develops a whole Torah of how ta'am is unique. I'll just give you one example of how ta'am is unique. If I have a piece of nevela and I leave it over here on the table, at what point does that piece of nevela become mutter? When it's not roila achilas, adam. When it's not roila achila, nevela haruya lager is asar. When nevela is enuya lager, it no longer has a din of nevela. Right? In other words, that the isurim can self-destruct when they become rotten. In other words, that the Torah says this is nevela as long as it's roi lager. Nevela haruy lager is lager ta'ken. That you can give this nevela to the ger as long as it's roi to the ger. It has a din of nevela. When it's ain't a roi lager, when it really is disgustingly rotten, ain't a roi lager. It can't be eaten. Then it's mutter. Ta'am. We have a concept of nosein ta'am lifgam. What does nosein ta'am lifgam mean? If I cook chicken soup in a pot, pour out the chicken soup, and let this pot sit for 24 hours, and now I want to boil up water in this pot, I say the tam of the chicken soup is no same tam of gum in the water, this water will not be besuri, because it's already 24 hours went by. Does that mean that the tam in the walls is already enoruil agar? Mapitom. I'm going to drink the water. In other words, nothing's going to affect me. We have a different standard because nevela is an iser cheftza. So the Chefza has to be self-destruct in order for it to become Mutter. But the Isur of Tam is an Isur of eating Tam. It's Isur Achila of eating Tam. Totally different standard, a different standard. It's enough if it's no sin Tam of God. It's 24 hours, then this Tam is no longer considered to be meaningful. Totally different world, okay? And the Reb Chaim goes in terms of the Nim of Chatzis. You can see the Reb Chaim is Alatar. Beginning of Perek Tetvav, you can go through the Reb Chaim. He defines Tam Kikr differently. So we have over here that basically, most Rishonim hold Tam Kikr is Midah Raisa, and working with that, Heter Naasa Iser. Rashi, the other extreme, holds Tam Ki Iker is Drabanan, and therefore you have to eat the entire amount. The Rambam appears betwixt and between. On one hand, he talks about getting Malkos on Tam. On the other hand, he speaks about the fact you have to eat the entire amount. So the Beis Yosef pulls it to the side of eating the entire amount. You have to eat the entire amount. Kind of read Tam Ki Iker is Midrabanan. But what? We have a din of Nika Ra'isur, a separate din of Nika Ra'isur, when you have a certain ratio, etc., etc. The Reb Chaim said, no, the Rambam is pulled to the side of Tam Kikar Mida Ra'isa, and in terms of the Heter Naasa Iser, that we don't say by Tam. Tam is a separate Iser of Achila. There's nothing in the Cheftza. It's not an Iser Cheftza, it's an Iser Gavra. Iser eating has different standards. And therefore, you have to eat the entire amount in order to be able to get to the kezayis of tam. The kezayis of tam is somewhere mixed into these six kezayim of heter. But until you get to the kezayis of tam, you haven't eaten the tam. Okay. So what? Okay. Just to summarize these last two hakdama shirim, and next time we'll move into the siman tzadichet in Yirtzeh Hashem. Say as follows. That we had the concept of Bito of Yavesh V'Yavesh. We had Bito Lach V'Lach. He pointed out that the moment that you have Nikar HaIsur, so then there's no Bito. Okay. What is Nikar HaIsur? So in Yavesh B'Yavesh, Nikar HaIsur would be the fact that if you would pick up a piece and have a different taste, that could be Nikar HaIsur. Has a different color, that would be Nikar HaIsur. In terms of Lach B'Lach, what is Nikar HaIsur? So over here we had a question, is Tam considered to be Nikar HaIsur? And we say, Machlokes, whether the fact that we have a Tarovas of Lach B'Lach with a Tam, does it tell us that the Iser is there or that it was there? According to Rashi, if you have Tama Uma Mosho, the Iser is there. If you have Tama Vulama Mosho, the Iser was there. According to most Rishonim, with Tama Uma Mosho, Tama Vulama Mosho, the Iser is always there. When we call Tam Kikar Daraisa, Tam Kikar Drabanan, we had a Machlokes as to whether the Rambam holds Tam Kikar Daraisa and Tam Kikar Drabanan. According to Rabbeinu Tam's understanding, we have this din of Heter Naasa Iser. We don't have that understanding according to the Rambam, even according to Reb Chaim. So what comes out is as follows. Let's say we have a Taroves Lach B'Lach. Let's say that we have our vegetable soup, and something fell into our vegetable soup, which is usur. And we wondered, what do we do? How do we know if we could eat it or not? So over here, because if it's going to be a taste, we're going to have a problem. Be it d'oraisa, be it drabon, we're going to have a problem. So over here, does someone have a tour? So this is where Siman Tzadichet begins. Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Yisurim Shebatorah B'Shishim. Amar Rava, Amar Rabbanan B'Taima, Amar Rabbanan B'Kfeila, Amar Rabbanan B'Shishim. So as follows, we have three options. We have this Taroves Lach B'Lach of Iser and Heter. So let's assume we're talking about an Iser that a certain Jew can eat, can taste. He's allowed to taste it. Let's say Truma fell into our vegetable soup. Okay, truma had a certain taste, so then we have tama. We'll give it to a kohen to taste. If the kohen tells us he tastes the truma of oranges that fell into our vegetable soup, so then the kohen can eat it. We can't eat it. Okay, but let's say it wasn't truma that fell in. Let's say it was nevela that fell in. So then we have the concept of fela. We give it to a non-Jew to taste. And we ask him, under certain circumstances, we can believe the non-Jew, do you taste the nevela in this vegetable soup? Let's say that there is no one around to taste it. We're Robinson Crusoe on a desert island. So then we have a din of shishim. We have a din of shishim that will assume that if we have 60 and kanareh, we're not going to taste anything. Okay, that's how we're going to deal with this tarobas of lach b'lach. Amar rabbanan b'tayma, amar rabbanan b'kfeila, amar rabbanan b'shishim. This is when we have a lach b'lach which lends itself to taste. Then we have the statement of Rav Yochanan, Kol Isurim Shebatora B'shishim. Namely, that let's say we have a lach b'lach where we're not going to taste anything. We're not going to taste anything. Let's say some non-kosher vegetable soup fell into our kosher vegetable soup. Some non-kosher chicken soup fell into our kosher chicken soup. Mida Raisa, lach b'lach, we said was batal b'rov, according to almost everyone, except for that Halacha Moshe Mesina of Rashi. So now we're saying, this also needs shishim midrabana, even if it's not going to taste anything. Yavesh b'yavesh. So if it's a yavesh b'yavesh, that were we to cook it up, we would taste something, here Rabbanan also say, you need shishim. If we have a yavesh b'yavesh, even if we cook it up, you're not going to taste anything, that remains on the level of rov. Now what we're going to see is, we've been talking up to now, just in total theory. We're talking in theory in terms of yavish b'yavish in general, lach b'lach in general, nikar ha'isur, and nikar ha'isur via ta'am. We're going to see next time that the Gemara and the Rishonim are going to use the term in the terminology min b'mino and min b'she'ino mino. Now we're going to have to try and understand what are these terms. What does it mean min b'mino? What does it mean min b'she'ino mino? We'll see machlokas, machaber ramah, Machlokas Shach and Taz, in terms of what does min b'mino and what does min b'she'ino mino mean. And then we'll plug that into here as well. So at this point, Mida Raisa, Yavesh b'yavesh, Mida Raisa is always batel b'rov. In terms of lach b'lach, then if there is no nikar ha'isur, midaraisa, it's also batal b'rov. When we have some potential of nikar ha'isur called ta'am, then you need shishim. According to Rashi, shishim drabanan. According to most Rishonim, shishim midaraisa. According to the Rambam, we're not sure. Then where goes there, all lach b'lachs, auto the lach b'lach, which has a ta'am. And in yavesh b'yavesh, if it's something that you were to cook it up and you would have a tam, where goes there as well, a yavesh b'yavesh that even if you cook it up, there would be no tam, that remains on the level of bitul b'rov. Okay, so shishim has sort of taken over most of everything on a drabanan plane, and bitul b'rov exists in lach b'lach, you're not going to taste anything. So all we have to do now is just understand these two terms, and then we can fly. Okay, so that's what we'll begin with next time at the beginning of Siman Sarichet, which deals with min b'mino and min b'she'ino mino. Okay. According to Rashi, we said that according to Rashi, again, what is lach b'lach?